Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. These weeks, each week, different things happen. Each week, what occurs is heavier than the previous week. Each week gives us more and more concern for what may occur in subsequent weeks. We're in deep trouble worldwide, not just here in the United States, all over, I don't have to tell you. So we're going to address tonight, we're going to discuss some pretty heavy issues, most precipitated by occurrences of this past week. I want to start with school bomb threats. Well, most of you may be thinking, well, he's going to talk about Los Angeles. Not yet. First, I'm going to talk about Little Key West, okay? We had our bomb threats yesterday in the Lower Keys School District. Yesterday, the Key West High School and the Marathon Middle School. Both schools, between 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning, received telephone calls. And I quote the message, "There are bombs in the buildings, and the bombs will detonate in 10 minutes. The bombs will detonate in 10 minutes. Mass evacuations from both schools were immediately called for. And in came the police, the FBI, the Navy, dogs, everything else to check the buildings to determine if there were any bombs in there or anything that would blow up. Fortunately, nothing was there. Just 1 week ago, in the Middle Keys, at Coral Shore School in Tavernier, the same thing happened. This was on December 7th. Nothing happened, though. The call came in. It was a hoax. Now, these things worry me. It's a hoax today. Nothing for real happened. It's a massive inconvenience, okay? But tomorrow, it may be for real. We all know, number one, there are nuts out there that when they see, hey, I can have some fun, I can make a telephone call and cost the county all this money, the school district, get everybody razzled and raveled up, the kids taken out of school, policemen, firemen running in to check the buildings, and ho-ho, I did it all on a telephone call. Or it could be a nut who wants to be damaged or do damage. Or it could be a terrorist who wants to do damage, all right? Because you don't have to be a terrorist to want to do damage. You could just be plain crazy. Now, I believe that these situations that occurred in the Florida Keys yesterday breed further actions which could be for real. Which now brings us to this morning. Who would have expected this? This morning, the Los Angeles School District appreciate the Los Angeles School District consists in excess of 1,000 schools, over 640,000 children. Well, they got a bomb threat. We're not sure exactly how it came. The news is fuzzy on this, but the decision had to be made, especially after San Bernardino recently in California. Do we keep the schools open and just say, ah, it's just a threat, nothing to worry about? Or do we, what we think might be best and close the school? Not take a chance. Close all schools. Los Angeles closed all schools. Now, there are many people who are being a bit critical in the media today, and especially tonight, and they're saying, why did they close the schools for? They should have known it was just a threat. The system to determine whether for real or not should be better, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to tell you something. I compliment Los Angeles for making the decision better right than wrong. Because if they'd been wrong and let the kids stay in school and a few of those buildings blew up, and that's the threat, it's going to be more than one building, then the school district would have been severely criticized and American children would have died. So this is the problem. And I think in the coming weeks we're going to have a lot of these school bomb threats and other kinds of threats. We're on a roll now, I am afraid. I want to talk about what I describe as the Islamic NATO. Islamic NATO. Yesterday, Saudi Arabia announced that a coalition of 34 nations, including Saudi Arabia, was being formed to fight terrorism. Note, not ISIS, terrorism. These countries are in the Middle East and Africa, and, interestingly, the partially recognized state of Palestine is a member of the coalition, okay? These are all Muslim countries except for the Palestinian group. I'm confused. I'm confused. The United States, for the last several months, we've been beating the bushes, talking to Turkey. Turkey, you must have more participation in the Middle East. You're important. You've got to do more. And what's Turkey done? Nothing. They've done some things, but not enough to be significant. We've also said to Saudi Arabia and the other Middle East countries of affluence, you have to do more. Sure, you sent some planes in here to bomb some places, but you must do more and you must take a leadership role. And what has Saudi Arabia responded? Nothing. But all of a sudden, yesterday, 34 nations, including Turkey and headed by Saudi Arabia, have said, we have formed a coalition to fight terrorism. Well, this is big. This is big. This is, I describe it as an Islamic NATO. My problem is this. Absolutely is. When did we know about this? When did the intelligence services of the United States know that this coalition was being discussed and was going to be formed, was going to be put together? We heard nothing about this. And I'm going to tell you something else. How many of you have heard it on the news today, on the television news, radio news? Have you heard about this? I couldn't find it on television today. I watched Morning Joe religiously. It wasn't mentioned there. And it wasn't mentioned on the other news channels during the course of the day. Why is the media not talking about this? This is a big event. They want to fight terrorism. And they're forming the coalition. So I want to know when we knew. And I also want to know why the media isn't discussing it, okay? Very simple. Is there another intelligence screw-up? Is corporate America and international corporations who now control the media, we know they control some of the news that's coming out. If so, why are they controlling this information and not providing it if they are? As to the terrorist versus ISIS thing, Saudi Arabia and the other Middle Eastern countries who are fighting right now over in the Middle East, they're bombing, et cetera, they're supplying equipment, providing money. They're not really fighting ISIS. They don't care about ISIS. They're fighting warlords, groups in countries, religious segments. And what are they fighting for? They're fighting for control of the Middle East. They don't care about ISIS. Most of them are not fighting ISIS. So when they come up with a coalition to fight terrorism, it's important that they did not describe it as ISIS, which proves my point. They don't care right now about ISIS. They're going to take care of that in due course. Right now, they are fighting for control. They are supporting groups that we don't support. This is amazing what's going on over there. All right. Now we're going to go to Las Vegas. Right now, at this moment, the Republican debate is ongoing. This is the last debate before the Iowa voting that takes place, I think, in February. It started at 8:30 tonight, the main event, and it's going to 11 o'clock. It's got to be a bloodbath. Between Trump and Cruz, I see a bloodbath. They're number one and number two. Both of them are going to go, I believe, for the jugular, all right? This is it, folks. It's down and dirty tonight. People are looking for this fight. It should happen. If it doesn't happen, these debates suck. Let's find out. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of what Trump is saying, what Cruz is saying, and all the other candidates. My problem is this. From my perspective, neither Trump or Cruz are good. Neither of them is good for this country. They appeal to hatred. They appeal to violence. I think they appeal in most situations to the worst that is within man. I don't like these guys. They remind me of Germany in the early 1930s when Hitler was on the rise. The people were economically depressed in Germany. They'd been beaten up in World War I. They thought they were garbage. Everyone was treating him poorly around the world. Here comes this nut, Adolf Hitler, and he says what they want to hear, and he's going to change everything. I'm going to tell you, folks, Donald Trump sounds just like him, and Adolf Hitler got elected. I don't want to see Donald Trump get elected, which now brings me to, we're going to go easy now. That was the hard stuff. I got some more hard stuff or heavy material, but my column this week for Conk Life is the president could not spell. Yes, the president could not spell, a problem many of us had in our youth. Today, spelling doesn't seem to be that important. We have word check or spell check, word check on these computers. Even the kids in school today, they use word check. My grandchildren, 10 and 11, have computers in school. They use word check. I don't know if anyone's ever going to learn how to spell again on their own. Anyhow, there was a president who could not spell, and that was Theodore Roosevelt. Yes, our president in the very early 1900s, he had a big problem spelling. All the big things he succeeded with in life, all the good things he did, the one thing he couldn't do was spell. And he tried to correct the problem by changing the language, and my column has to deal with my God, the whole world got on top of them. Newspapers worldwide, the Congress of the United States, what are you doing? And it's an interesting story, and I recommend it to you. Part of the story notes some of his abilities, the things he could succeed at and did succeed at. Many of us are not aware that Theodore Roosevelt was a phrase maker. Phrases that we use today were initiated by Teddy Roosevelt in the early 1900s. For example, he was the first one to call the White House a bully pulpit. Yeah, bully pulpit. Because he thought it was a great stage to be heard from around the world, a bully pulpit, the White House. As to corporations and trusts, he said, speak softly and carry a big stick. Speak softly and carry a big stick. And he knocked the hell out of them. Political extremists. He described political extremists as the lunatic fringe. Yep, and that comes down to us in these days, lunatic fringe. And he also said, when they asked him if he was going to run for election at one point for president, my hat's in the ring. Things we hear today. My hat is in the ring. Words we hear today. And that meant that he was going to run for president. And he got that from the Old West. Most people are unaware that for 2 years, Teddy Roosevelt lived in the Dakotas and ran a cattle ranch. He was a cowboy for 2 years. This is before he was a president and before he went to Cuba and fought the Great War. And another interesting thing, and this is going to hit you, you're going to love this one. Roosevelt is president. He is visiting the Hermitage in Tennessee. The Hermitage was the home of Andrew Jackson. While he's there, he is offered a cup of coffee. He drinks the coffee, and when he's finished, he says, and this is for real, folks, good to the last drop. Good to the last drop. Well, the coffee was served by the Maxwell House, a Nashville hotel. This was their own local special brand coffee, the Maxwell House. Well, 10 years later, they started selling the coffee. It's sold even today. And how was it sold? Maxwell House. Good to the last drop. Now, we know that Roosevelt went up San Juan Hill. This has nothing to do with a phrase, but I want to spell something out that I found very interesting. He led the troops during the Spanish-American War up San Juan Hill, and he won the battle. It was a big battle he won. He said later on, and I quote, the great day in my life. Yes, the great day in his life was the battle for San Juan Hill. Now, the information I've just provided regarding Roosevelt is in my column in Conk Life this week, but it also contains the spelling part, which is most interesting, and I recommend it to you. I have said repeatedly for the past several years, both in writing on television and on the radio shows, that I believe our court system, our judicial system is screwed up. I believe I can address this issue. I can speak to it. I spent 46 years as a trial lawyer. I tried in all the big courts. I see what's happened here. Our system is not working the way it's supposed to. Our judges and our laws aren't working correctly. It used to be the judge could straighten everything out. Now a judge worries, for example, even in a simple arrest in a city court, he's got to cooperate with the police and he's got to cooperate with the district attorney's office because they work together every day. And justice sort of has a way of slipping out when the judge is not blind to everything, but he's trying to make everybody happy because you shouldn't do that when you're a judge. Congress passes laws that I just don't understand. The Supreme Court of the United States, they've come down with interpretations in the last 20 years. Conservative, which I don't agree with. I tend to be liberal, no question about it. But these decisions are so far to the right that even if today Obama were able to appoint two Democratic persons as Supreme Court justices, the evil that has been done with regard to the ultra-conservative court decisions will be with us for the next 20 years. Not good. All right, now let me give you why I'm talking about the judicial system doesn't work, and this is a perfect example. Last year, I reported on this show, and I reported in one of my writings, the case of Boo Boo Fones Avank. I'm not pronouncing it right, but it's a long word. Last name's Fones Avank. 19-month-old child baby. The mother and the child were visiting friends. And this was in Habersham County, Florida. And the baby was sleeping in the living room. It's the middle of the night, 3 o'clock or something, in a playpen. And everybody's asleep in the house, but the baby's in the living room sleeping in a playpen. I understand that. Sometimes when we traveled somewhere, our babies, I had four of them at one time, slept in a playpen when we were visiting. And the playpen's in the living room, and the door to the apartment opens directly into the living room. Well, some police officers thought there were drug dealers in the apartment, and they went out and they got a no-knock warrant from a judge. The problem is there were no drug dealers in the apartment. There never were drug dealers in the apartment. The police officer, a young lady, 29 years old, Nick Autry was her name, obtained the search warrant based on a lie. She told the judge in writing under oath that she was informed there was a drug dealer in the place. Drugs were being sold. She later admitted, after what happened that I'm going to share with you, that she lied. She made it up just so she could get the warrant quickly and easily. That's how the system works today. Policemen do lie, not all the time, but they lie. So what happened? They came in like soldiers, the police, and they busted open the door because they had a no-knock warrant. They didn't have to knock on the door and say, please, may I come in? And they threw stun grenades in first. One of the stun grenades fell in the playpen. The baby is sleeping in there. Bobo is sleeping in the playpen. It went off on Bobo in the playpen. It made a mess of his body. I have seen pictures on the internet. You can see pictures on the internet how he looks today. This baby has a lower face, a mouth, lips, jaws, distorted as if he was in the middle of a war zone in the Middle East where a bomb had gone off. And this is the way he looks. He looks like he's a victim of a war zone. And he's a 19-month-old sleeping. They should never have been in there because police officer Nick Autry, who's a woman, I'm just spelling because her name's Nick. I want to make sure you understand. Makes no difference, male or female. But she got the search warrant from a judge based on false information. She intentionally lied. An example of an overzealous police officer. We seem to have many today. When she lied, she exhibited no respect for people in general that she was supposed to be protecting and investigating. It's a perfect example of a police officer out of control who lies to a judge in writing to get a warrant, then goes in, stun grenades are thrown, and this baby's face is distorted. I don't know for life if it can be fixed or not. Well, the United States Justice Department said this is wrong. This is a civil rights violation. This is not the local prosecutor, the local state attorney, the local district attorney. This is the Justice Department of the United States of America, and they brought three civil rights violations against this police officer, okay, for lying under oath to get the search warrant, and, of course, against the police department. What do you think? the jury came back and acquitted the police officer. They did not hold the police department, they did not hold this police officer, Nick Autry, responsible for what happened to this child, even though she lied under oath to get the search warrant, without which they couldn't go in, and without which this child would not have been hurt. And the jury came back and said she's got no criminal responsibility. Now, I don't know why. I don't understand. These things are happening too often today. Too many police officers who are shooting running away blacks, not even coming towards them. Many who don't even carry a gun. These police officers get out of a car and within seconds put 15, 16 bullets in somebody, or two or three bullets to young kids also. They're being tried criminally for murder, for manslaughter. And there are some convictions, but generally they're being acquitted also because the laws have been built in. For example, with the police officers, if a police officer believes he is in danger of imminent death or injury, he is free to shoot. Now, I don't know what the hell won for this police officer and her sheriff's county department up there in Florida, but I think it's a disgrace, and it's another example of the court system out of control. Let me talk for a moment about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This big deal we've gotten into now where we're going to make more jobs and more money in the United States because we're going to do big business. The whole world is going to do big business with Asia. Well, let me tell you something. It's bad for the United States. I've been saying this. Many people in this country feel it's bad for us. We have had experience. Remember, NAFTA was going to make jobs for us by doing business worldwide. We are now in a global economy. It's going to create more jobs for the United States. Instead, it took all our jobs out of the United States and sent them over to Europe and to Asia. So beware of these things. But our President Obama and our Congress, they think this Trans-Pacific Partnership's a big deal, that we will not lose jobs this time, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. History teaches us. History repeats itself. And we never seem to listen. We never seem to remember. And that's what's happening here. Because here's what's... Let me just give you Thailand in this whole thing. Thailand has a billion-dollar slave industry. I'm talking about a flourishing human trafficking business. I am not talking, however, about prostitution, young girls being drawn into slavery. What I'm talking about is how they take families, they take people, young, old, married, unmarried, and they force them to work 16, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they live under bad, bad conditions, just like as if they were prostitutes. And they keep these people working over there, producing something in Thailand through torture, beatings, and murder. They put the biggest type of fear in these people. A major industry in Thailand is the shrimp industry. All right? Now, Thailand sells shrimp to us. They want to continue selling shrimp to us. Under the Trans-Pacific Agreement, if you are a slave nation, you can't do this. Your stuff can't be sold internationally. So Obama imposed on the Trans-Pacific people, and they took the slavery condition out. Would have barred Thailand. Number two, we have a law, or we had a law in this country. If you were a nation that dealt in slavery, you could not do business with the United States, and the United States could not do business with you. Congress softened that up to say, well, if it appears that they're trying to stop being a slave nation, then we can do business with them. So now Thailand is going to do a big shrimp business, continue to do it in the United States, to the detriment of our shrimp fishing industry. And this is big. Do you know where the shrimp are already being sold, were being sold, and will continue to be sold? Walmart, Kroger Wholesale Foods, Dollar General, Red Lobster, Olive Garden. And how about Chicken of the Sea? We see it in the supermarkets. Chicken of the Sea that's sold in Safeway and Albertsons. That shrimp comes from Thailand, all of it. And it's all produced by this slave labor. Now, how can our fishing industry, our shrimp fishing industry, compete? It's almost impossible. These people are being paid a dollar a week or 50 cents a day. And our people get more money than that because we don't treat people like slaves. And this is what happens under this Trans-Pacific Partnership. It sucks 5 years from now, 10 years from now, everybody will be saying what I am saying at this moment. But there are people who are saying this also at this moment. Which now, what are we doing here? I want to see how much time I have. I want to talk about the French election. Very important. Everything's different this week, you know, and every week's different. The French held their regional elections, local elections, over the past two Sundays, their national elections in 2017. Generally, there's been two parties in France, a conservative party, a liberal party. And there's always been a third party and a fourth party and a fifth party, but they're little parties. They never go anyplace. The ultra-conservative party, the far-to-the-right party, is the National Front Party. In the regional elections, which just took place, they came in a strong third. They took 7% of the vote, which is giving them more seats than they ever had in the French legislature. The head of the party is Marine Le Pen. She is a woman also. And she said, we're going to win the national election in 2017, and I suspect she may be correct. I compare Marine Le Pen to Donald Trump. I think they're cut from the same bolt of cloth. These are ultra-right. They're going to shit on anybody, excuse the way I put it, that gets in their way, gets in the way of the French people, as they put it. They're going to be hard-ass, far, far to the right, and that worries me. Is this a trend worldwide? I've got to say perhaps, because it's happening here with the way the public is receiving Donald Trump. It happened in France. This was a shock, her party, Penn's party, getting 27% of the vote. And it scares me, and it's something we have to watch, because this is going to take over the world then. And we're going to be at each other's throats even worse, I think. Okay, let's finish lightly, okay? Dogs pooping. I thought we had this problem cured years ago. People carry little plastic bags. They walk the dog does his business. The people very nicely pick it up with the plastic bag and they dump it someplace. Well, not everybody's picking up the dog poop in South Florida, as it turns out. They're leaving it. And several South Florida condominium boards have come out with a new plan. This is interesting. By the way, the people who own dogs in the condominiums are very upset. They want the dogs to submit to DNA testing. Would you believe it? They want the dogs to submit to DNA testing. And they want the owners to pay for this, and a record will be kept of the DNA by the condo board. And then when there's the defecation, they're going to test it. And if it turns out to be your dog, the DNA, you're going to have to pay for the testing, and you're going to have to pay for a cleanup, whatever it may be. And you're going to get fined, too. The owners, the condo owners, are upset. They say it's an invasion of privacy. This is baloney. And they don't want to do any of this. They don't want to pay for the DNA testing. They don't want the registration. This is big. Already three companies have been formed and are doing business. Did you hear me? In South Florida, doing DNAs of dog poop. It's absolutely amazing. All right, that's the show for this week. I hope you have enjoyed. I enjoy sharing with you each week, speaking with you, in effect. As soon as I get done with this show, I'm going to television to watch the balance of the Republican debate, which it's got to be extremely interesting tonight. And I hope you go there, too, because this is America. This is America, this stuff. Again, thank you for joining me. I look forward to being with you next week. Stay healthy. Have a good week. Good night.